Ben, that's mine. Ben, that's mine. Put that down. Put that down. If we're saying prayers at night and Ben picks something up in Lucas's room, it doesn't matter that Ben gave it to Lucas that day. You still hear that. Ben, that's mine. And he loves to take ownership of that as quickly and forcefully as possible. And I just think it's funny because we do that all the time. The more I was thinking about that, I just thought, we do that all the time. You know, we think about a car or a house or a new outfit or a piece of technology. You know, you have a car and you think, well, I take ownership of that. That's mine. So I get to use it however I wish to use it. Well, you pay it off, and when you get done paying it off, then of course that famous line, well, it's going to start nickel and diming me to death, so you're going to you have to get a new one. A house. You know, you sign up for a house and you have a 180-year mortgage on that house, and by the time you get to kind of get to the end of that mortgage, then things start to fall apart on that, and you have to do some kind of a loan to get things repaired in that house. And at some point, those magic words, maybe we should get another house, come up. But even something like an outfit, you know, oh, I got this new outfit. It was this new latest and greatest thing, and you know, I know things like, does it make my beard look small? Like, does it you know, is it slimming? Does it look good on me? And by the time you get finished messing around with it, you find that it's out of style already. Or the new, what is it, the i324 that just came out. And you get all excited about it, and you bring it home. And there are people now that even do the unboxing, you know, because we have to see somebody unboxing this and see their expressions. Oh, my. Oh, look at the color. Look at the sheen that comes off of that. You see all these things, and as a person is doing all that, they see this commercial for the i327. And all of a sudden, oh, man, it's outdated. So you have all these things that what we think we own, we really don't own at all. They own us sometimes, but we really don't own them. And I think about the really important things. You think about things like time. You know, you can think about money. Think about your talents. We have this unreasonable belief that those 24 hours that exist in a day are somehow in our little savings account. And we can save that, and as we see fit, if we see there's something that deserves or warrants the spending of that time, we spend a little bit of that time. It's the way we look at it sometimes. But I don't think anything could be further from the truth. The more you try to hold tight to that time, the more it slips away. The tighter you hold to that and the more you save that, the more it flies by. Faster and faster and faster. It's gone. I think about money. You think sometimes about, well, how we get this money, however big it is, however big amount it is, we get it and we hold it tight. I think it's so funny. It's like water, trying to put water in your hands, how you can hold it very tight and you keep watching it. It's like, where is it going? I don't have any holes in my hand. It's really tight. Where is it going? And all of a sudden you look and the water's gone. Same thing with money. It's gone. You try to hold it tight and it's gone. Our talents, my talents. If I don't use them, it's gone. I think one of the greatest tragedies that we see in life is a person that has abilities, a person that has talents, a person that has these abilities, but doesn't have that direction, that just exists, that just goes one day to the next, maybe one paycheck to the next. Just exists, doesn't really accomplish anything except to just survive. I think a lot of times it's like being on a long journey without using a GPS. You're going somewhere, but you don't necessarily know exactly where you're headed. And I say GPS, in our family, we kind of called GPS Henry, because Trisha's dad was an over-the-road truck driver. And you could be lost in Indiana somewhere and say, I need to get to this this bakery or something. I don't know why I would choose bakery. But this bakery, and you could call Henry and say, hey, Dad, I'm in Indiana, and I'm trying to find this bakery. And he'd go, okay, well, where are you? Well, I'm on, I think, Main Street. I see this, I think it's a fire department ahead of me. Oh, okay, I know where you are. So make a left, go over three streets. That's going to put you on 4th Avenue. Then that's going to take you to a Y in the road. Make sure you go to the right, but you can go over that bridge. When you go over to that bridge, immediately take a left, and you go down this hill, and you're right there. I don't know how he did it, how his mind worked, but that's how it worked. But for us to go through, Sherman, you're probably the same way. Janine, is he like that? But you go through these things, and for us to go through life and not have that direction, that guidance, it's a rough thing to be a part of. It's also a rough thing to see sometimes, isn't it? It's a rough thing to watch. But that's what it's like when we don't look for and follow the will of God in our lives. He would not have given us these gifts, these talents, if he didn't expect us to use them for him. He gives spiritual gifts and skills. Our first passage of the day, and I really want to, we're going to go through a couple passages, but I'm putting them up here, but I'd love for you to take some notes, look in your Bible, and check it out throughout this week as you go through. But we're going to start in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to look at 10 and 11, verse 10 and 11. But we see in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, that as each one of us has received a gift, we are to use it. I love how some versions say employ it, how use it. So that in all things, what? What's the word? In all things, what's the words? In all things, God may be glorified. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. We're to use it so that God can be glorified. Each one has received this when we trust Jesus as our Savior, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We're to employ it. We're to activate it as good stewards, not sloppy stewards, not lazy stewards, as good stewards. Spiritual gifts are divinely given by God to help equip us to follow and fulfill his purposes effectively and successfully. That's what it helps us to do. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. Talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. It's for equipping the saints. God gives us these abilities to equip the saints to build up what? To build up the body, to build up the body of Christ. I love that terminology. CJ, I know you have really enjoyed going over anatomy and physiology, right? You have just really enjoyed those classes recently. But the anatomy of the body of Christ, we think about that. But I want you to think about how important the body of Christ is to us on a daily basis. In fact, there are 59 one another passages in the New Testament. 59! Just in the New Testament, one another passages. And we're going to look at a couple of them. We're going to look at a few of them. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. We are to encourage one another. John 13:34. We are to love one another. Galatians 6:2. We are to carry one another's burdens. Colossians 3:16. We are to admonish one another. Other believers that you trust need to be all up in your business. That's what admonish is all about. I'm getting that instruction. It's not easy. This whole message today, there are some things in it that I think I've told you before. Whenever I get a message, normally I have to pound through it for a couple of weeks because the Lord's talking to me first about things in my life that I need to work on, things in my life that I need to focus on. And then I bring it to you, and you get to hear it. But admonish. We are to have people that we trust, Christian believers, friends of ours that we trust, that we know in our lives. A few months ago, I got a chance to hang out with a couple buddies of mine, and I was admonished. They said to me, you guys had said to me, you know, you're too busy. There's a lot of things going on in your life. There's you got a lot of stuff going on, and you're kind of missing out. Well, I trusted these guys. I loved these guys, and I knew that they had my best interest in mind. So I did some praying. I did some looking. I did some looking into Scripture about it, and just asked for some guidance on it, the Lord to guide me on it. And I kept going back to this passage in Luke 10, where Mary and Martha were sisters. They were at a party with Jesus, and Mary, it's such a cool picture. Mary is just captivated by what Jesus was saying. She was hanging on every word that he said. She just loved everything about what he was talking about. And then you have Martha, her sister, who was making sure the turkey was done, making sure the mashed potatoes were all fluffy but mashed right. The stuffing was done the way it should be. And she was missing this point, and she was going all this busyness. In fact, to the point where she said to Jesus, "Master, tell my sister to get off of her keister and come help me with this." And he had said to her, "You're missing the point. You're getting so frustrated. You're getting so sidetracked that you're missing the most important thing." And I made some changes in my life because of that. I got admonished by my brothers. That was Curtin and Brett. And that we meet pretty regularly and do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We are to build up one another. Romans 15:14. We are to instruct one another. Trish and I, as we started working with the youth, with Karen and Hans, we got to kind of move out of teaching Sunday school in the morning and got a chance to be in with the adult Sunday school class. And it has just been so much fun being in there to see a different style of teaching, to see just different, kind of go about God's word even different in different ways and learn new things with it. It's really been enjoyable to do that. James 5:16, we are to confess our sins to one another. It was funny because like 15 guys' faces in this room just went. I can see them even through the masks. It was like that. It's not something that we like to do. It's not something that we're comfortable doing all the time. But the enemy loves it when we live out our lives in secrecy, doesn't he? He loves it when we're ashamed, when we don't have that power, when we don't have the confidence, when we don't have that that interest to get involved and to help other people or to do other things. The enemy loves it when we live our lives in secret. So don't let him have that power to do that. We are to confess our sins to one another. Also in James 5:16, it says we are to pray for one another. Understand, we can't tackle this Christian life alone. We need others, and those others need us, need you and your gifts. It's not someone else's job to support the body of Christ so that you can do what you want with what's mine, with my time and abilities, with mine. 1 Corinthians 12, if you look at verse 1, we're going to look at verse 1, we're going to look at verse 4, and we're going to look at verse 7. It tells us that these gifts that we're given are personal gifts that God gives us. These are a variety of gifts, but from the same Spirit. And it says that each one of those gifts is given for the common good, not mine, for the good of the body of Christ. Romans 12:4, it's a very familiar verse. There are many members, but not all the same function. We have the worship team. We have prayer warriors. We have teachers, visitors, the people that visit. I can't tell you how many people how many people talked to me, how many people said it was incredible how I was just low and just kind of feeling really alone, and somebody called me. Somebody visited me. You know, even before this COVID stuff, so many people told me about how blessed they were when that happened. runners, workers, people who have done so many things for other people. We who are many are one body in Christ. We've all been in situations where we need encouragement, where we need correction, where we need instruction. I know I have. I know I am. But I could not benefit from the gifts of these other people if others were not good stewards of them, by using them. They're not mine. How many of us love to be around people who only think about themselves? It's fun to be around, isn't it? Who only think about what you can do for them. Who only think about what they can get. How they can get more than you, more than everybody else around. It's a draining thing to be around them. Draining thing to be around selfish people. I get a chance to be around through the criminal justice system. I get a chance to be around a lot of people who have been put in a place or in a position that they were thinking of themselves and did some kind of foolish things. But one of the things I love to do about being around other people, around in here, is it's recharging. You ever notice on a cell phone how you have, except for Drew and Jim's cell phone, their cell phone's completely different. They have like the latest and greatest models. But these models, our cell phones, they work, and then as the battery starts to come down, starts to decrease, more and more functions have to shut down on that phone to allow it to keep what little battery it has. Till finally, the battery can't work anymore, and the phone has to shut down. But just like that, we need to recharge. We need to recharge our batteries, recharge our spiritual batteries. Those functions stop working. We need to be in God's Word. We need to listen to great worship music. That song today was awesome. That was really cool. I like that a lot today. Having the support and be supported and supporting other believers. Kids, the greatest example in Scripture that we have of someone who was not worried about mine, about this is mine of whatever, was in Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus said, even I, the Son of Man, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You know, Jesus went to this supper, and there was this place that the disciples were sitting. Now, I talked to Maverick about this already. Did Jesus go like, hey Maverick, you know, that seat's pretty important. I need to kind of be able to see everybody, and I need everybody to be able to hear me. So I'm going to ask you to just get up, and so I can sit there. Thanks, man, thanks. You can, like, there's something over there. You can go do that. Thanks. I appreciate that. No, he didn't do that. Thanks, buddy. He didn't do that. He got at the disciples' feet and washed those nasty feet. I won't even wash Lucas's feet. I'd have been like, man, throw these guys an odor eater and see me in about an hour. But he took a place to serve his disciples, and he wowed even them. But it was an amazing example of serving. He knew what service was all about. And that's our example. He knew what service was all about. The definition of a spiritual gift is it's given to you by Almighty God. Nobody else can give it. Nobody else can take it away. And you can decide whether to hide it, whether to keep it tucked away. And like that passage we learn in Matthew 25, 14, of that servant who hid that talent under the ground and let it rot. That's exactly what it is. If you don't use the talents that God's given you for other believers and for His glory, you're letting it rot. You can choose to do that, or you can choose to put it to work for the Master. If you only had a little talent, or a little money. You want more? Be a good steward of it. How are you using it? Are you holding on to it so tightly that it slips away? Or are you using it? Are you being a good steward of it? The Bible promises that when we put things like your money into God's hands, we will not be sorry. We'll never be sorry. I've been blessed way beyond what I deserve. I put money in God's hands. It's the same for time, for talent, for abilities. These aren't easy truths sometimes to hear. It kind of gets to us. I know with me at first, I started to think, okay, what part in this do I need to think about for me? But these are truths that God has for us. They're not easy sometimes. And the more truth you are exposed to, the more truth that you get, the more you're held responsible for it. The reason God gave us truth is for us to become the full person, the full servant, the full warrior that He wants us to be, that He wants you to be. You will never know the full potential that you have until you're tested. Those gifts can't grow until they're tested. Think about Olympians. Olympians work so hard. They do their best. They set a record even. And people will say, oh, nobody's ever going to set that. Nobody's ever going to break that record. Until somebody else tries their best. And they work and work and work. And all of a sudden that record's broken. We are to do our best. Our responsibility is to do our best. Not compared to somebody else, but to improve us. Because someone will always be better than me at something. But what is important is that I do my best for God. And I think about who I'm doing this for, who I'm working for. It doesn't matter to me that the world sees this person as better than I am at something. Because what is important to the world is definitely, we see time and time again through God's word, the things that are important to the world are not important to our God. And I'm very thankful for that. But He doesn't want me to be a better teacher than Brett. He wants me to do my best. We're not expected to be like anyone else. He is expecting us and equipping us to be the best at what He created us to do. Not created us to do, but created Joyce to do. Created Mary Beth to do. Be the best at what He created you to do. That's what He wants. It's not mine. It's not my ability. It's not my time, my money, my whatever. It's for the body of Christ. Colossians 3:22 says, slaves, obey your master. And I think it's funny because I've talked to people about this passage. And I've heard even from people that question, oh, does that mean that God condones slavery, that once that God goes into this whole thing about slavery, that's a good thing? We got a chance to sit in Jack and Bonnie's place the other night, and we had a Bible study. And we talked about this tiny little book in the New Testament. It's called Philemon. It's only a few verses. It's like a page long in your Bible. But it's an awesome book. Bible studies are fantastic. That was a great study. We talked about Paul was writing in the book of Philemon to his buddy, to his friend Philemon. And it was all about Paul saying to him, man, you got to change your mindset. Paul was talking to Philemon. Philemon was a slave owner. And Paul was talking to him like, man, you got to change your mindset. You got to change the way you're thinking. There's a lot of changes that you need to be making here. But Colossians 3:22 says, slaves, obey your masters. Do your work heartily. Do your work thoroughly. Enthusiastically. Because who do we serve? Who do we serve? The Lord. Yeah, we serve the Lord. Now, you might have this person who's this kind of intermediary, or this person who is a supervisor or a teacher or maybe a neighbor. That person might be the mediator, but we serve Jesus. My best is what matters. So with all that, why do we have believers that fail to serve? Why do we have believers that fail to serve? And understand, when we have believers that fail to serve, that weakens the testimony of the church. That's how important this is. But why do we have that? And I think there's a couple reasons. I've heard a lot of really great theologians discuss this, and some things that I've picked up. The first one is they're ignorant of Scripture. A person that doesn't serve is and use their gifts, what God's given them, that person's ignorant of Scripture. They have no idea that God requires, not politely suggest, requires us to exercise our gifts. People don't think about that, don't know that. Another reason is we feel adequate. We feel inadequate. Well, I can't do that. Understand, that's your viewpoint. That's not God's viewpoint. He knows when He equips you for something, you're ready. So there's no excuse. He equips us. Another one is we have guilt feelings. You know, I did some things in my past that I really shouldn't be in this position. God's grace takes care of your past. I'm so thankful for that. God's grace takes care of your past. So keep trying. Keep coming up with something else. Fear of failure. Everybody on this music team that you saw today and you see normally on Sunday, I guarantee you that there's not one of us that, when we first started doing this, came up here and we were ready to go, man. We were ready to sing. No, the Lord put it on our hearts to be here, and we are nervous. And anybody who's seen us start to do a song and then me actually stop the song and start it completely over again knows, it's a pretty humbling experience, but knows that that's not a natural ability to do that kind of stuff. But you work at it. You exercise that. We learn by failing, by exercising the opportunity to use our gifts. I think sometimes people are unwilling to make a commitment. I'll do this right here, but I really don't have the time. I don't want to put all this into it. I've been guilty of that. We are responsible to God when we are called to do something. We can try to put it in the background and try to silence that voice, but we are responsible to God when we are called to do something. We are to do our best. Sometimes there's a lack of love, a lack of concern for other people. And that sounds pretty harsh, but there are sometimes, and I've seen it recently, we're not taught to just keep thinking about other people. I was raised in a really loving home, and I know anybody that's met my mother probably has a hard time believing that, but I was raised in a loving home where I was taught to put other people first, to focus on what God wants you to do for other people. I was taught that from a very young age. And I understand that that's not everybody. But wherever you grew up, whatever you were taught, don't ever let that be an excuse for not doing your best for God, not using your gifts that God's given you specifically to use for Him. Don't ever use that as an excuse to take responsibility. I know people, I meet people daily who are willing to take a car or take money, but they will never take responsibility for what their actions produce. It's kind of like our house where people are playing video games in the living room and somebody has the idea of bringing a soda in the middle of the living room, right in the middle of all of the controllers, the remote controls and everything like that. And all of a sudden that can of pop or that soda spills over. Oh, it's not mine. I don't care whose it is. Pick it up. And it's just that taking responsibility. It's for helping, for working. I think there are people that are just selfish with their time. I think in our day and age, that's a pretty normal thing, to be selfish with your time, be selfish with your talents. It's mine, but it's mine. I can do with it whatever I want. You may be gifted a little. You may be gifted a lot. But you don't think you have the time to help this person or to serve in this position or to witness to this person that the Lord's put on your heart to go talk to or participate in the worship with the gifts you have or to teach or to lead this ministry or to visit this person that doesn't ever see anybody. Think of the things that you have done this week that you have time for, that you've made the time for, things with for you, things for your family, things for your friends. Understand, folks, and I've learned this the hard way, selfishness will never be blessed by God. Period. Sometimes it's not even a matter of a person is unwilling to give of their time. Sometimes it's a person is a poor manager of their time, a poor planner. Understand, you don't have to be smart to learn how to plan and how to organize. But you sure will look wiser when you do. It's easy to get overwhelmed when you don't plan. This summer we were cleaning out a garage. Pretty decent sized garage. And I remember looking at this garage and going, where do we even start? I was so overwhelmed with this. I think I even talked to CJ at one point because I knew his organizational skills. And I was like, man, I am so overwhelmed by this. I don't even know what to do. But we can get overwhelmed with something like an unorganized house or something we have to clean and we have to put in order. We can get really overwhelmed with that. But if you take part of a room and organize that part of a room, it's much more manageable. When you try to organize an entire month of your calendar, that's tough to do. But if you try to organize a couple hours of a day and plan it for something and organize it and know where you're going and what you're doing at what times, that's a great start and that's a great way to do it. I used to use this excuse, I work really well under pressure. I do better under pressure. All that was just an excuse not to plan. Excuse to be lazy, excuse to not work harder ahead of time and plan. When you prepare, the craziness that happens in life doesn't affect you as much because you have the important things in order already. Those other things still happen, but you have them in order. There's no excuse. We try to use plenty of excuses not to do something. I just couldn't do this because. I just couldn't go help here because. I couldn't go to this thing because. Just because you weren't taught how to do something, it's not an excuse not to learn it and not to do your best for the Lord. Use your gifts, not mine. Use the gifts that you have for Him. It's not an excuse to just exist, to just get by. I don't understand how special we are to God. There's a lot of times that I just can't figure that out. The thought that there are 7 billion different fingerprints, I don't understand. They don't look that different to me. I mean, 7 billion different fingerprints? But God knows every one of them. And He knows every one of those names that those thumbprints belong to. That's how special we are to God. That's unfathomable to me. But we are that special to Him. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Don't try to be something that you're not. Be the best that He has made you to be with the gifts that He has equipped you with. Work on it. Develop it by using it for him and serving others. It's not mine. I may be older than every supervisor in my department. That's not an excuse to be lazy. It's not an excuse to get bitter, to be selfish. There was a great prayer that I had learned from an old preacher when dealing with work that I love. I just think it's really cool. I wanted to share with you. The prayer goes like this: God, I want to thank you for the gifts and skills that you have given me. And Lord, by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do my best as if I am working for you. I'm going to improve. I am going to improve. I'm not going to wait for someone to give me a break or to get me ahead of something else, somebody else. I'm going to improve by the Spirit of God. I think that's a great prayer. We better not waste our gifts because we're too busy saying, mine. We hold them too tight. They're mine. You'll never know how great those gifts can be until you put them in God's hand and decide to use those gifts that he's given you to glorify him and serve others. They'll never be great. You'll never see how amazing those gifts can be. Not mine, but yours. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you have been gifted specifically by God to do those gifts. So what excuses could you possibly have for not carrying out his will, for not using those gifts for him? Now here's the catch. If you have not given your life to Jesus, if you've not trusted him as your Savior, this won't work. It won't. This is why. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And my prayer for you is that you would ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and your sins based on the fact that he went to the cross, he died on the cross, and his blood paid your sin debt in full. That should be probably an amen somewhere. Amen. Thank you. That's perfect. He forgives you of your sins. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he seals you for eternity as a child of God. Don't waste any more time. If you haven't made that decision, don't waste any more time. See Kurt, see Brett, see me. But whoever you are, don't waste any more time trying to save what isn't yours. Not mine, his. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the abilities that you've given. I look around this room and I see the amazing abilities that you've given people. Encouragement, love, teaching abilities. Father, they go on and on. The list goes on and on. Father, I pray that you would stir hearts in this room to how we can use your gifts that you've given to us. Not mine, but these gifts for you and for other people to give you glory. Lord, seal this message in our hearts so that we can think about it through the week. Don't let us go about our days. Don't let us go about our months, this Christmas season, without thinking about this and without using our abilities, using the abilities that you've given us, using the time, the money, the efforts that you've gifted us with, Lord, to bring you honor and glory. Lord God, I thank you for allowing us to be here today, and I thank you for being our God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.